Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
There is a generation of cellists, a couple of generations actually, who remember the truly incredible, positively inspirational experience of hearing Mstislav Rostropovich play live on stage on an instrument known as subtle, quiet, intimate.
The sound that Slava produced could cut through anything.
Cellist Matt Heimovitz.
Just seeing this man projecting to the last corners of the hall with his sheer sound and will.
I think people in the audience were bowled over by not only his playing, but his endurance and the life in his playing.
Cellist Fred Sherry remembers Rostropovich's sheer physical presence as he poured out one great cello classic after another.
This guy came out and he was an animal on the stage. You could say he's the Marlon Brando of the cello.
The late cellist David Sawyer, who was a founder of the Guarneri Quartet, remembered the earliest Carnegie Hall concerts of Rostropovich.
Completely unknown guy appeared, you know, from Russia and played wonderfully. He was a great personality even then. You immediately sensed this is somebody.
He was so, so moving and so natural.
Elisa Weilerstein heard him play toward the end of his life.
I'm not the type that cries at concerts, but I lost it completely.
It was that rich sound that got them. The remarkable Rostropovich tone opened the instrument in a way. Nobody had ever played quite like it.
Rostropovich always liked to say in masterclasses, cellos, number one problem is sound.
Emerson Quartet cellist David Finkel studied with Rostropovich for 9 years.
Violins can always be heard because they're high. It's much easier to hear higher sounds. And as soon as you get lower, you have the challenge of dealing with whatever accompaniment may be there, not to mention ambient noise.
For Rostropovich, this was simply the whole point of playing the cello, to defy its limitations, to exhaust its possibilities.
I was 7 years old, but the impact of the sound that he was creating, I was fascinated by it.
Matt Heimovitz is the acclaimed cellist known for performing Bach in nightclubs and pizzerias.
I couldn't understand how so much sound was coming out of one instrument.
You know, his cello is almost horizontal.
Cellist Maya Beiser is a founding member of the new music group Bang on a Can All-Stars. She describes Rostropovich's cello as having been positioned almost like a violin, almost parallel to the floor.
He had this kind of way that he was just completely kind of on top of the instrument, totally owning it.
So for cellists and aspiring cellists, he was a powerhouse of a presence in the concert hall. But they all listened to him on records, too.
The Dvořák Concerto, with Karajan, I believe, conducting. I was just so taken by this kind of grandioseness and bigger-than-life quality.
I got one recording, and it was the Saint-Saëns Concerto. But I had never heard a cello voice that made me want to be, for sure, a cellist. And that was it. It was just as though I had seen the light.
My dad got me the record of the Shostakovich Concerto with the Philly Orchestra, Eugene Ormandy conducting. And that was the first thing that made him famous in the West. He came over, and nobody could believe that he could play as well as he did.
What is interesting and telling is that even with his great recordings as a soloist, all the cellists mentioned a particular, unlikely, and very fruitful collaboration the expansive Russian had with the great 20th century English composer Benjamin Britten. It was this recording, Britten at the piano, Rostropovich at the cello, the music by Schubert, that they all point to.
Schubert Arpeggioni Sonata.
The Arpeggioni Sonata with Britten.
The Schubert Arpeggioni Sonata, classic recording.
His performances with Benjamin Britten at the piano.
But the cellists say there was something else in Rostropovich's playing, something behind his bow, according to James Krieger, that actually altered his tone.
For me, it was the commitment, all the time, actually, not just playing the cello.
There was something about the musicality of his personality and his presence that just made everybody feel more musical, more connected to the music, and more able to come to his level somehow.
There was a sincerity, there was a connection that he was making with this music. He could make anything sing, no matter how difficult. He could overcome all this and make it seem as natural as a human voice.
Some players are defined by their art. The great violinist Yasha Heifetz comes to mind as one who was a violinist, first, last, and always. For Rostropovich, it was different. His art was defined by him, by all of the things he was apart from the cello. He put it all in there, and what came out stunned and impressed cellists of every stripe, not to mention the rest of us. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
WNYC Studios is supported by the community of writers, presenting live online short courses in the Writers Annex. Upcoming in 2024, Sylvia Plath, James Joyce's Ulysses, and Emily Dickinson. Instructors include Victoria Chang, Robert Haas, Brenda Hillman, Peter Orner, and Matthew Zapruder. Learn more at communityofwriters.org.